Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. In the name of our living Lord Jesus, amen. Please be seated. And I'd like to invite you to think about a little bit further this gospel text, this lesson from Mark chapter 6, where we hear about Jesus multiplying the food for 5,000 and more people, and especially it's this verse, verse 37, where in answer to their questions, Jesus says, "You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." Will there be enough? Will there be enough? This is the question asked by many, from parents packing lunches for their children to eat at school to churchgoers planning on attending the post-service potluck. We wonder sometimes, will there be enough? Others ask the same question with higher stakes sometimes. Think of the farmer in a dry summer, watching as meager rains wet crops that are thirsting for a drink. Will there be enough? Or think of the aid workers who bring truckloads of food and water into areas where war has left a wake of destruction, asking, will it be enough? The human story is full of this question. Will there be enough? And even for the very many of us who rarely have less than we need, we still often ask. This account of the feeding of more than 5,000 people by Jesus is an answer to this often asked human question, will there be enough? The human question of scarcity is met in this text with the divine answer of abundance. Jesus provides. And yet we must ask, as this text confronts us today, as it invites us to think and to dig even deeper, why? Why? Why did Jesus do it? Was it for fame? Because in other places in the Gospels, it seems as if Jesus is sort of downplaying his fame, telling the witnesses of the miracles, especially the healings that he performed, not to tell anybody about him. No, this wasn't a publicity stunt. And so we ask, was it for popularity? Well, the trajectory of Jesus' life certainly shows that he was not on a quest for popularity. Was it for faith, perhaps, so that the masses, this great crowd of 5,000 people, would believe in him, would put their trust in him? Well, perhaps every miracle Jesus did was an opportunity for those who witnessed it to put their trust in him and to believe. But I'm doubtful whether very many of those thousands of people would have been aware even of what happened that day, or just exactly how it came to be that their stomachs had been filled. And even more doubtful that a full belly would lead them to true and lasting faith in Jesus, this Galilean teacher. So why? Why did he do it? Why multiply this food and feed a crowd so big? Well, I'm convinced as I read the text this morning and bring it before you today that it was not primarily the crowds that Jesus was teaching here, but it was his disciples. This is discipleship training 101. This is the practicum for the 12. The hands-on faith-building experience that Jesus was giving them, that they might begin to trade their human question, will there be enough, for the divine attitude with God, with Jesus, there will always be an abundance. There are three details in the text that I'd like to point to briefly as we go through it today that show Jesus was teaching his disciples that day. The first is when they come to him at the while it's getting late in the day. And it's the verse that I read for us again and repeated. They've been looking at the crowds and asking the same human question, coming up with the same worried answer. Will there be enough? And the obvious context, the obvious scenario is no. They're in a desolate place with nothing to eat, no water and no food. They think that there is really not going to be enough. They're worried and they're anxious. And so they advise Jesus to send the crowds away with the knowledge that there are places in the area that they can find some food, maybe the villages, maybe the little houses or dwellings along in the country that are close by. There might be a chance for them to eat something at least. But Jesus says, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And that must have seemed preposterous to this small group of ragtag followers, who themselves were probably getting hungry enough to be desperate. hangry, we call it these days. But it is exactly where Jesus is going in this lesson, isn't it? The disciples are going to feed the crowd. That's his plan all along. The disciples are going to feed the crowd. And Jesus invites them then to take a second look at their situation, to see not a looming crisis, but an opportunity to serve. And the miracle that he is about to perform is not only going to fill 5,000 bellies, but it is going to change at least 12 hearts. You give them something to eat, Jesus says. This is the first detail. And the second detail in the text, it's what comes from that. It's the ensuing discussion. It's where Jesus asks these men, after they object to his preposterous suggestion that they give the crowd something to eat, after they say, well, it would take a fortune to buy bread for this many people, when he asks them a second question, how many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? And then he instructs them, go and see. It's a curious little unique part of Mark's version of this account. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. Go and check it out. Go and count them, in other words. Jesus invites his disciples to take a moment and take stock of what they have. This is crucial. Notice that Jesus doesn't tell them that he's got some secret store that they didn't know about. Some secret food, perhaps, hidden away. No, he says, what have you got? How many loaves do you have? He invites them to look at what they are starting with because it's not nothing. It's not nothing. And there's a lesson here for all of us. We who face the daily challenges that we find impossible, we who stand confronted with an insurmountable obstacle and think, how will we get through this? Jesus invites us to take stock of the gifts at hand. Not to think with dismay and throw up our hands and say there's nothing here, but to recognize that we have something to start with. Even a meager provision, which might not seem like enough, but that we can put into his hands and see multiplied. Maybe that tiny lunch in the middle of that huge crowd, maybe that's a little bit like our faith. Maybe that's a little bit like our lives of faith, when we sometimes wonder, will it be enough? Do I believe enough? Do I believe with enough confidence to get through it? Will I continue to believe when so many others seem to turn to other helps? When faith seems to be on a downward trend? And what is one believing heart, after all, in the midst of so many thousands who have walked away from their faith? Maybe that tiny lunch that we think about in the midst of that crowd of 5,000 people is how we feel, too small for the task at hand. I pause here because I find this image to be so compelling and instructive for us. Picture the disciples, these 12 burly fishermen and other assorted worker types, hunched over this tiny lunch, 5 little loaves and 2 little fish. It's John's gospel that we learn that they found the lunch from a boy. His mom had planned ahead, unlike most of the others, it seems. It's a compelling scene to me, these great big men hunkered over such a tiny little amount of food. It's an impossible situation. And yet there's a seed there in the middle of this group that begins to grow. And just for a moment, let's put that image aside and picture another image. Picture perhaps a schoolgirl hunkered down in the middle of a great big new school, surrounded by unfamiliar faces and new experiences, feeling like the little tiny bit of hope in her heart is not enough to meet the challenges of the day. Or picture the nurse, one single person walking into a giant hospital full of sick and dying people, wondering if she can make any difference at all. Or picture a new Canadian, no job, no English, no money, wondering if he will be able to provide for his family in a new land. Or picture yourself facing whatever impossible situation, whatever insurmountable obstacle is in front of you. We come back to the disciples surrounding this little bit of food. But now we see Jesus. One man stepping into a whole broken, needy planet full of people, one divine human servant, one tiny offering, and yet in Jesus, as one is sent among billions, he is enough. It's into this scene that Jesus brings his story, God's perspective of abundance. And we read that taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves. I imagine the detail of that scene. It's hard to picture how the multiplication happened. In some of the movies you may have seen, maybe Jesus raises this basket up, and somehow the little tiny bit of food is in a big basket, and then he lowers it down, and all of a sudden, there's a whole full basket. I had a pastor, actually, when I was growing up, tell this text one time, and he thought of it this way. He thought, maybe Jesus handed out a little bit of the food to each of the disciples, and because it was so much, they held it behind their backs. They didn't want to show how much was in total. And so they just started giving it out, but they broke it in a hidden place, maybe behind their backs. And as they broke it and gave it away to the people that were gathered there, lo and behold, it didn't get smaller. They kept giving and giving and giving, and that little provision which they had been given themselves didn't run out. It didn't get smaller, and yet they kept going and going, and when everyone had had enough, they still had more than they needed. We don't know exactly how it happened. But the point is that into this scene of scarcity, into this human narrative of lack, into this human question, will there be enough, Jesus provides an abundance, an abundance. And dear friends, the abundance that he provided that day was not just about the food, but it was about himself. For in Jesus there is an abundance for us too. He takes each of us in his arms and lifts us and blesses us too, blesses the meager and wavering faith that we might be clinging to, and multiplies it. He finds each of us the bruised reeds and the smoldering wicks, and the tired and the downcast and the depressed. And he comes alongside and says, well, what little you have, I can work with, I can multiply. And he lifts us up, and he blesses us, and he multiplies the life within us. For Jesus himself is the one who was multiplied. Jesus himself is the one who was lifted up before all people in his suffering and his death. Jesus himself is the one who was broken and blessed on the cross when his life was given as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus himself is the one who conquered death and undid the power of sin and rose to new life at Easter, filling all creation with his abundance. Dear friends, our Lord Jesus, he was enough. I told you that there were three details in the text which point to the lesson Jesus was teaching his disciples that day. If the first is that he confronts them with the problem and says, now you are the solution, you give them something to eat. And if the second is that he invites those gathered to take what they have and start with that. The third is this. After multiplying the food, Jesus gives it to the disciples to set before the people. You see, it's the disciples that feed the crowd. And this is significant because the whole exercise seems to be about equipping and empowering these doubtful men to do the work which Jesus had come to do. Towards the end of his life, Jesus would say, "Greater things than I have done will you do." And in the end, it's the disciples who take the food to the crowd and distribute it. Instead of raining down food from heaven, instead of providing it with a flash and a bang and perhaps a puff of smoke, Jesus multiplies the resources that they have brought and invites them to distribute those resources generously without lack. There's something very important about this and a lesson for us too, dear friends. For there is abundance in Jesus. And the anxious question of humanity, which is asked with an attitude of scarcity, will there be enough, is met with his generous reply, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. Our question of scarcity is met with his abundance. But the abundance doesn't rain down magically from heaven, dropping into laps and taking all our problems away with the wave of a magic wand. No, rather, we're invited to bring what little we do have to our Lord, to surrender it into His control, to bring our broken lives to the foot of the cross and find His body broken there for us, and then to see His resurrection and restoration multiply what little we have brought into an enormous provision of abundance. So, dear friends, as Jesus taught His disciples, may He teach us too. May we too learn that we have something to offer. May we, when faced with the insurmountable, the impossible, the doubtful even, may we hear our Lord's voice saying, "You give them something to eat." And when we come to the end of ourselves then and recognize that we can't possibly, may we bring what little we have before His feet, offer it into His capable hands, and see that gift multiplied, that we might be His distribution network, His servants, going with joy in our hearts, knowing that He has provided for us and that freely we might provide for those around us too. As He multiplies that gift within you, may you find yourself joyfully distributing His abundance to the people around you who are in such grave need. For in Jesus, there will always be enough. Amen. And now may the peace which passes your understanding and mine guard our hearts together in Christ Jesus while we wait for the coming of His kingdom in its fullness. Amen.